Good morning. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to Q3 Hidrovias earnings call. Mr. Fabio Schettino, CEO, Mr. Ricardo Pereira, CFO and IRO, and Ms. Ana Carolina Bastos, IR Manager, are here with us today. This is being recorded. All participants are in a listen-only mode. After the company's presentation, there will be a Q&A session. Further instructions will be given then. If you need assistance during this call, please press star zero. This call is also being broadcast live at the link available to investors and analysts. Participants can move the slides as they wish. Those attending via webcast can submit questions on our website. They'll be answered by the IR team after the call is over. Before we proceed, we would like to say that future statements are based on company's premises and beliefs based on information currently available to the company. They involve risks and uncertainties because they involve future events that depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that macroeconomic conditions, industry conditions, among other factors, may lead to results that may differ substantially from those expressed in future statements. Having said that, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio Schettino. Good morning. Thank you for attending our call for the third quarter and the year-to-date results. As you may have seen, after the bell, we concluded yet another accounting period with record results in the main logistics corridors. Above adjusted EBITDA of last year, we've accomplished that in the first 9 months of the year. This is very important to the company. As you may recall, there were several non-recurring external factors last year that impacted our operations. Even not benefiting from the potential of Southern Corridor and Santos, we are again projecting results that are in tune with the installed capacity of the company, with growth both in volume and adjusted EBITDA. On to slide four, these are some of the highlights for the quarter and also in the year-to-date results, showing the excellence in the Northern Corridor. We are at full capacity given the very positive crop season of grains, especially Mato Grosso and Pará, as well as the resumption of operations in Santos. The first one is going back to normal drought levels we had suffered last year, and the second operation was still going through that learning curve after that 15-month shutdown for the renovations, just like you've seen in our reports. In the past 2 years, 2021 and 22, this is a good example of the fundamentals of the strategic advantages of our company. 2021 was a year in which we proved the resilience of our contracts. Our adjusted EBITDA was almost the same as that of 2020, despite of operational restrictions in the south and the lack or the shortage of grains in the Northern Corridor that ended up absorbing part of that exceeding exports last year. 2022 has been the year in which we've shown that we have the best assets in the logistics corridors in Latin America. We've grown in the Northern Corridor, operating at full capacity despite stronger competition and more pressure from the road freight. That effect is dwindling because fuel prices are going down. We've seen better results in the South despite drafts that are below average. We've transported 4.8 million in Q3, highlighting more grains in the North and iron ore in the South. Net revenue ex hedge accounting of 500.8 million reais. Adjusted EBITDA was 221.7 million, up 23% when compared to last year. We've shown record numbers in the year-to-date results, almost 13 million tons, net revenue, ex hedge and OTM of 1.4 billion reais. Adjusted EBITDA was 646.3 million, above adjusted EBITDA of the entire year of 2021, and also that of 2020. This is the record high EBITDA of the company in a quarter ever since its onset. We remain diligent in our investment decisions, monitoring the market to optimize our assets and operations. We don't want to build up idle capacity and ensure appropriate competitiveness where we operate. We prioritize the necessary investments to perform maintenance in our assets that remains low because we don't have to invest because our route is the river. There are no maintenance expenses there, of course. And also, we're paying attention to expand projects that are already underway, just like in Santos, that can bring in returns on the short and midterm basis. We have been optimizing our capital structure. Our CFO, Ricardo, will be giving you further detail, trying to reduce exposure to the debt in dollars and helping us in the deleveraging effort. Ricardo will give you further information. That's our top priority. Deleveraging is our top priority so that we can have more flexibility for the new growth cycle. We are an innovative company able to develop new projects, contributing to a more effective and sustainable logistics matrix to Latin America. Once again, this is a record result for the company. The headwinds we had last year are part of the past. We remain optimistic for 2023, but I'll turn over to Ricardo, our CFO, for further information about our financial results. Thanks, Fabio. Once again, thank you for attending our call. Let me start on slide six. That's the monitoring that we do of river drafts in the southern corridor. On the left, you have the Ladário River. That's where we load iron ore. The dark blue line in 2022, we can see that the river curve is better than that of last year. That's the light blue line. At the same time, when you look at the dotted green line, we see that it's still below historical averages. 22 is better than 2021, but still below historic data. On the right, that's the comparison of the draft level of the past 2 years and projections. We use public data and also our team's analysis. So it's always important to look at results by looking at this slide. This is a topic that you have mentioned time and time again, and this is exactly where we learned the most ever since the beginning of the company. You may recall that up until 2020, we had an amendment to the main contract that was Vale back then, and we did not depend on river levels or river drafts because we had even when we had smaller volumes than take or pay. So we had lower volumes during the dry period. In the direct offset of take or pay was almost like 50 or fixed income of almost $40 million of EBITDA a year. But as of 2021, which was the first year in which we had to perform according to the original contract to move 3 million tons of iron ore at the time. At the same time, that was the year in which we had a lot of restrictions. So the hurdles were substantial, especially in the Paraná-Paraguay Basin. As a consequence, we had higher costs, efficiency was way below our capacity, and the impact in the transported volume. That's why the 2021 was very unusual, not only because of the river drafts, but also of the contract, now with the full contract. So in that sense, we had to learn to operate within those restrictions. And at the same time, we were looking for the integration and the optimization of assets we acquired from Imperial Logistics, which, by the way, helped us extensively, giving us more flexibility in the second half of the year and during the shallow waters period of this year. And of course, bringing in non-recurring results in 2021, given the positive effect of the advantageous purchase. We mentioned that in the previous call, and that's the positive effect we had in 21. Moving on to slide seven, we can see that results of the quarter and year to date, and once again, let me remind you of the three challenges we had in 2022. We had operational challenges with shallow waters, just like I showed you before. Crop season was 60% below in Paraguay, and there was a change in the controlling shareholder from the main iron ore contract we have in the region. So that combination of hurdles presented several challenges we were faced with to operate the entire system. However, we have to highlight what we've been doing. On the left, you can see that we moved more than 1.4 million tons worth of products in the quarter. That's the top left corner. Over 30%, 31.3% increase when compared to the same period of last year. Volume was almost 4.2 million tons in the year-to-date results, which is very significant growth, almost 38%, 37.8 to be exact, especially because of iron ore from Corumbá, mostly for the Argentinian industry, as you know. Revenue was up ex-hedge 78.3% in the quarter, reaching 211 million. A 57.3% growth year to date, amounting to 580.9 million, reflecting both higher volumes, as I said, on top of tariff adjusts or increases driven by inflation and fuel. Operational costs amounted to 126.4 year to date, a little above 339.1 million. Growth below that of revenue, but I think it's important to mention that still impacted due to lower operational efficiency related to longer queue times of terminals operated by third parties, but they end up impacting the loading and the unloading times, impacting efficiency. We have more challenges during that transition period, just like I said, during that transition between the operators of our iron ore contract with MCR. We remain with MCR, but we changed. There was a change in the controlling shareholder. that impacted navigation cycles, less dilution, and productivity. The good news is that that transition is part of the past, and we're now back to normal operation levels. The contract remains the same, and just like we've been saying, we have the warranty of Vale International. That's exactly the same, just like before the sale of MCR. Operational expenses amounted to $21.6 million in the quarter, 41 year to date. They're reflecting higher tax retentions and some inventory adjustments. Let me now focus on the EBITDA on the right side of the slide. Adjusted EBITDA amounted to $71.5 million in the quarter, up almost 10%, almost $233 million year to date, up about 21%. Of course, comparing to the same period of last year. Let me remind you that in Q3 of 21, we had an one-off positive effect of adjusted EBITDA of 37 million reals from the advantageous purchase of Imperial Logistics, benefiting Q3 21 results, but that was not directly related to the operation. So when we make that comparison, so we have to bear that in mind. If we were to exclude this one-off result in Q3 21, just to compare the operational performance, the accounting results are there. But let me talk about the improvement in the operational performance. The improvement would be 150% of adjusted EBITDA in our southern operations, from 21 million in Q3 21 to 71.5 million in Q3 22. In other words, we want to make it very clear, as we have been saying, despite all the problems we've had, lower drafts, we still have room to improve as river levels get back to normal, especially as of 2023. Q4 is still unusual. Well, no, it's lower, shallow water, seasonally shallow waters. It's not unusual. It's usual to have lower levels than the rest of the year. And I would like to point out that the recovery of results and river levels is not 100% linear. That is to say, when we operate at levels below normal levels, even when you have much better levels than those in 2021, just like we've seen previously, we cannot capture all the benefits directly in results because the cycles remain impacted as well as productivity. In other words, up until we get to higher volumes transported, we may even transport more volumes, but smaller EBITDA generation per trip. In other words, we are increasing our volumes, 31% growth, and EBITDA does not grow, comparatively speaking, given that operational impact. Regular draft levels, even above historic averages, will provide gains and significant improvements. That's what we have been projecting. So despite the shallow water scenario, the positive trend remains good. Public projections also indicate that recovery 2023 should be even better than that of 2021. Now let's talk about the Northern Corridor now. On to slide 8 now, please. These are the numbers for Corridor North, proving the strategic fundamentals in 2021. Back then, we changed the commercial dynamics and smaller volumes of grains for export, offset buy, take, or pay. Fabio talked about it briefly. Still, we had higher take or pay volumes. This year, volumes were down 15% and adjusted EBITDA went up 28% because of take or pay have less volume back in 2021, but EBITDA is not hurt, quite the opposite. We have the revenue and we don't have operational expenses. That's why adjusted EBITDA was up 28%. Now, in 2022, on one hand, we had very strong soy and corn crop seasons. We had two major challenges. More competition from other logistics players. A more challenging competition scenario given higher fuel prices impacting road freights in the north. You know that we have a stretch there and that fuel impact is higher up north. Despite those challenges, we can deliver these results. Once again, proving that our principles, that this is a very good corridor. We operated at full capacity for most of the year, once again, proving that we have a competitive advantage and ensuring our leadership position in the Northern Arch, both in Miritituba, when we have a transshipment, and Barcarena, where we have our private terminal. Let me point out that we are at 100% of our capacity sold, and we forecast a very positive scenario for 2023, given the bumper crop projections and road freights going down due to lower fuel prices and the improvements of Highway BR-163 that impact our operational costs. In numerical terms, when you look at the slide on the left, 2.4 million tons of grains and fertilizers, almost over 6.2 million in year to date. These are new records for the company, both for the quarter and also in the year to date numbers. Excellent results. There's no denying. Only made possible given the productivity gains and optimizations we've had in that corridor. Just for comparison purposes, just to remind you, when we started those operations way back when, we had a capacity of 4.4 million tons a year. And now we're at 7.2 million yearly with almost marginal investments. So a lot of productivity that has been growing consistently and giving better returns on investments there. Operational net revenue ex-OTM for the quarter amounted to about 217 million in the quarter, almost 594 million year to date, which reflects that record volumes, better tariffs, and at the same time, the service mix with greater participation of direct road transportation, the volume of grains transported by the company. Operational costs, 75 million in the quarter, almost 202 million for the year-to-date number. It reflects or a reflection of greater volumes. Of course, that will bring operational costs up. Operational expenses were down when compared to the same period of last year. Looking for efficiency, optimization, showing the continuous effort on the part of the company to optimize its operation. So that was 7.47 million year to date, 23.7. Adjusted EBITDA as a direct consequence. Now, of course, looking on the right of the slide, still slide 8. Q3 was $138.3 million EBITDA. That's on the top right corner, up over 33% when compared to Q3 of 2021. Year to date, $380.2 million, up 24% when compared to last year. The performance in the northern quarter shows what we have been saying. That quarter remains competitive. Consistent EBITDA margins above 50% in recent years and an adjusted EBITDA CAGR of over 30% since 2018. That shows that the quarter has a lot of potential, showing the principles of the investment thesis. As to cabotage, now on to slide nine. It remains positive because of the generation of is in U.S. dollars on top of diversifying Hidrovias operations. In the quarter, 821,000 tons of bauxite, stable volumes when compared to those of last year. You can see on the top left corner, and almost 2.4 million tons year to date. That's the bottom left, showing that we're bringing volumes to normal levels after the problems we had in the pier last year. Once we address that, we have that significant growth in the year-to-date numbers. Net operational revenue ex hedge amounted to $62.3 million, almost $180 million year to date. With less need of that take or pay when compared to periods of last year. We had the problem with the customer's pier. We had to resort to take or pay, which is not the case this year. That's why we have better volumes. Operational costs reached $34.8 million in the quarter, a little over $89 million in the first nine months of the year. Growth above revenue given to average pilotage costs and cycles that are a little higher than those of last year, using more fuel that ended up not being captured by higher tariff costs. Operational expenses reached $1.1 million, $3.4 million in the nine months of the year. I go back to the same topic. That's our model to control expenses throughout 2022. On the right, you can see adjusted EBITDA was $31 million in the quarter. Year to date, we exceeded $100 million in this business of coastal navigation or cabotage. On to Santos. Finally, we have resumed our operations. We had high hopes in the previous quarter. Initial results, again, resumption was back in August after 15 months of shutdown when we renovated the warehouses. We moved 128,000 tons of fertilizers. Operational net revenue was $9.9 million. We're still in the ramp-up phase. Because of that reason, it's only obvious, but I think it's worth mentioning it. We haven't reached its full potential. We're far from it. Operational costs were 5.1 million reais. Operational expenses, all $0.9 million, impacted by higher contracts for the beginning of the operation when a smaller dilution. The entire startup process, you have higher costs at the beginning. As revenue starts to pick up, you dilute costs overall. Therefore, adjusted EBITDA was $4.2 million in the quarter. And by the way, aligned with what we expected. Finally, we are starting our operation in Santos. Please move to slide 12 now. This is the consolidated results of Hidrovias, the holding, in other words. As you can see, results are positive, especially when you compare to Q3 of last year and also year to date. That is the result of our constant efforts to optimize the company. What I'm trying to say, in a nutshell, the holding is in line with what we had in the past. When you see the year-to-date results, you have major growth there. Let me talk about each one of them. At the end of the quarter, we moved almost 4.8 million tons on the left, up 54%. Outstanding when we compare to Q3 of 2021. In the middle, that impacted our ex-hedge operational net revenue of over 500 million reais in the third quarter, up 48% almost, which is also excellent. Finally, on the right, consolidated EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA, reached almost 22 million, up 23% from last year. The adjusted EBITDA remains robust at the 44% level. On to the next slide now, slide 13, for the year-to-date results. These are the results of the 9 months. It's just outstanding. Almost 13 million tons moved, record volumes for the company. Over 34%, to be precise, 34.5% growth when compared to last year. On the left, you see that very strong number. The impact on revenue was direct. Ex-hedge operational net revenue reached almost 1.4 billion, up 33.4% when we compare to the same period of last year. Finally, on the right, adjusted EBITDA reached, again, outstanding 646 million reais, a growth of 19% when compared to last year. Let me point out that in the 9 months of the year, our EBITDA is higher than that of the entire year of 2021. 9 months in 2022, higher EBITDA when compared to 12 months of 2021. On top of the focus on operational excellence and looking for alternatives for generating more productivity, we remain very cautious as far as the investments we make, prioritizing appropriate maintenance of our assets. Let me remind you that this amount is structurally low. We have to be very precise because in this water transportation business, the structural maintenance is usually low. We have contracted out investments to conclude the projects we have in-house that can generate results in the short and midterm basis. Just like in Santos, resumption was back in August, and the technological plan to use and optimize our operations. In that context, on slide 14, let me talk about CapEx for a minute. CapEx was almost 7% below that of Q3 of last year, 114 million. That is even more evident. That focus is even more evident when we compare the year to date. A little over 268 million, which is almost 70% below the amount invested in the same period of last year, along the lines of what we had forecast. We're walking the talk, period. We remain diligent to reduce our leverage, smaller investments, as we can see. We've talked about something else in the last quarter. At the beginning of the operation, we wanted to have a more optimized capital structure for future cash flows. We issued a debenture to 500 million reals. The goal was to repurchase bonds in the secondary market. That process has two objectives: reducing our debt in dollar, not impacting the net debt of the company. But since we are repurchasing at a discount when compared to par value, we get benefits in financial results that can be seen in the last line there. We started that repurchase in Q2 of 2022, and by October 31st, we had already purchased almost 122, 123 million US of the principal of the debt in dollars. Face value, there's a discount. Financial results were positive of over 27 million US of what we have already repurchased with the average discount of 22%, 27 million US once again. A huge benefit. And at the same time, we are aligning our future cash projection, bringing to our currency. So I am increasing the take of reals in that basket. Onto the operational results. We've already talked about the potential, the benefit of that repurchasing. Yet another financial benefit, which is significant. Despite being non-recurring, that repurchasing improved operational improvements. We could conclude the accounting period with a net profit of almost 93 million reals. Year to date, we are at over 148 million reals. In other words, very good financial results, very good operational results as well, that impacted profits significantly. In conclusion, let me now talk about the debt. Slide 15 now, please. The Q3 leverage was below that of the same period of last year, was 5.6. It's down when compared to the 6.5, and also down when compared to the previous quarter. It was 5.7. We're now at 5.3. Still above the financial covenants we have, but let me point out, there's no material payments on the short term, as you can see on the profile on the right. We are above the covenants. There's no cash pressure on the short term, and we do not have a liquidity problem. And there's also something else worth mentioning. Being above the covenants, it's 4.5 times the leverage, but being above those covenants does not generate any maturity changes. So there are no immediate risks because we have an excellent debt profile, as you can see on your right. Well, that's it. That concludes my presentation. I'm very proud of the results, just like Fabio said. And I'll turn it back to him for his closing remarks. We will then, after that, have a Q&A session. Thank you once again, Fabio. Over to you. Thank you, Ricardo. Results we've had so far show more normal operations, still below our full potential, but already overcoming challenges of 2021. I'm very convinced that our business is resilient, showing the benefits of long-term contracts with very competitive projects and assets. We remain diligent so that the company can reach its full potential, reduce its leverage, and provide more flexibility to go back to do what we've always known what to do, which is to develop new projects with excellence, generating value to shareholders, society, expanding competitiveness of producers in Brazil with a more sustainable transportation matrix. We still have to deliver Q4 results. We all know it's slower, especially being very strong in the north last year, given the take-or-pay volume then. That is the case because we don't have the same capacity in the last quarter, because once the corn crop is concluded, we use that period for preventive maintenance and be ready for the following year's crop season. Q4 usually have shallow waters, even during normal times, so we have to pay close attention when we make comparisons with Q4 numbers. We had one-off effects in the Q4 of last year. However, it is certain that 2022 will be a year of growth, positive results, with a more normal water cycles in the south and the crops in the north. Operations will be even stronger in 2023 with a capital structure that we believe is more appropriate with smaller leverage, which once again, I state, is our top priority. We're ready to benefit the countless opportunities in logistics in Brazil and in Latin America. That concludes my presentation. Let's move on to the Q&A session. Thank you. Let's start the question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star 1. If your question is answered, you can remove your question from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be answered as they come. Use the headset, use the telephone headset for better audio quality. Please hold. Daniel Sasson asks the first question. He's from Itaú BBA. Good morning. Congratulations on the results. My question is about the Northern Corridor. You've said you are 100% sold. How many tons does that mean? What is navigation? 7.2 million of capacity. Is that for navigation only? Or transshipment? Or what about road transportation? What's the competition like in the Northern Corridor when you think about tariff negotiation, whether there will be toll booths in Highway BR-163 or not? Could you elaborate on the renovations in centers? You talked about the potential returns exceeding your initial projections. Could you please elaborate on what changed in the project? Why are you more optimistic now? Thank you. Good Good morning, Daniel. I'll start and then Ricardo will piggyback. Let me now break down the capacity of that 7.2. That would be 5.5 in the integrated system. Miritituba navigation in Vila do Conde, which is what we call integrated. The road in Vila do Conde, trucks at the terminal, it's 1.5 million. The Barcarena terminal is way more competitive now. It's a very feasible alternative for southern Pará and southeastern Pará. 300,000 worth of fertilizers. You've seen that fertilizer volumes were down, but it was our strategic decision. We managed the capacity as a pool, reducing fertilizer volumes. We can have more grain operations, which is more profitable. That's the breakdown of your first question. The second question about competitiveness in the northern corridor and talking about freight prices and how that dynamic plays out. The market is king. Exporting through the northern corridor or southern corridor is taken by the freight taker based on global costs. By moving Barcarena Santos from the farm all the way to the ship, since can make a huge change there. The truth of the matter is that the northern corridor, despite these challenges, I'll be talking about the road spread. Now we're going back to normal prices. But again, that does not affect the global competitiveness of our quarter. We are expanding our market share, where 56% of all grains exported from Porto, Mato Grosso is going through the northern corridor. When you factor all in port spread, pilotage, road freight prices, when you compare hydro, the northern corridor remains very competitive. Let me point that out once again. We have been harping on this for quite some time. When you're going back to normal, you have growth in both logistics areas. It's not one takes from the other. It's a win-win situation. No one has to lose for the other part to win. Once you have a market normalization, those that operate in the south and in the north, both are growing. There's room for everybody. We still have gaps in logistics. You don't have to steal market share from anyone else to grow. That's what I mean in a nutshell. Let me go back to the toll prices. As we've seen, fuel prices going up throughout the year, the spread between road, between the northern and the southern solutions widened and reduced competitiveness in the north. Still, market share is growing despite that effect. As fuel prices go down, those spreads go back to normal between 85 to 95 reals worth of difference. Then that gap went up to 140, 150 reals. Still, since the decision is not based on freight prices only, transshipment or navigation, freight, road freight prices, it's based on the total cost of moving from point A to the ship. What's going on? Spread is going back to historical levels. When I compare that with the tolls of 15, 20 rails, it's way better. What am I trying to say? Is that historical price spreads of road prices went up to 185, went to 150. When you go back to those normal numbers, 20 reals won't make any difference there. When the spread go back to historical levels. That's what we'll believe will help once fuel prices go back to normal, as also with the improvements of Highway 163. That return is way better than the amount of the toll. We don't see any competition issues there. Quite the opposite. If the toll ensures stability in the truck traffic, it's even more competitive. It's even better. Once again, we are going to be even more competitive in the north. Next year, we'll be able to expand that capacity. We'll have 7.2 million. That's good news. Just heard yesterday, it's public. I can share that. We've had a certification of the super convoy for next year. We'll have 35 barges. Even when you had that limited expedition capacity, that is the port's limitation, I can have greater or larger convoys, fewer trips, and better operational efficiency. We have two new assets from Turkey. They are the state-of-the-art, the second generation of the assets we purchased from Turkey or Vale. They will be able to push much larger convoys with greater operational efficiency. And we'll be keeping doing the trade-off with the fertilizers. The more integrated tariffs I can include, the better. That's the number one thing. Number two, despite the deficiency of super convoys, we can now make a ship with fertilizers and grains. We have the buoy that is put on the other end of our berth. We can include additional grains, ships that are self-loading with cranes. In other words, to improve operational efficiency with super convoys, do more grains in areas we use fertilizers. Come again? I heard a voice. I don't know whether you wanted to make a comment or not. Okay. I don't know whether it was a follow-up question or anyway. Well, we believe that without significant investments, we'll be able to expand the total capacity of the system, Daniel. Before I talk about Santos, let me point out something that is key. We have our number one priority. We remain diligent to deleverage the company. We're expanding productivity, improving our EBITDA. Once again, net profit of 150 million, also a record high with very low CapEx. That should be the case in 2023. Still improving capacity and the system with no major investments necessary. And now in Santos, the major change, despite the confirmation of the fundamentals, Santos is the number one hub of fertilizers in São Paulo. Santos keeps expanding its imports. It's about 6 million tons. 2030 projections, 8 million tons, basically for the São Paulo market, coffee and sugarcane crops, basically. What has changed? Santos is now a reception hub to transport iron with Goiás, Mato Grosso. We have a 5-year contract with an extra 500 ton worth of capacity. So on top of trucks, we'll be able to move fertilizers through route so that they can supply their customers in Mato Grosso and Goiás. This is what has changed. Again, fundamentals remain solid, and you add 500,000 tons. A very long answer. I don't know whether I answered your question. You did. That was very clear. The certification of the super convoys, that was great. Enrique Simoes from Credit Suisse is next. Good morning, Fabio, Ricardo, Anna. Congratulations on your results and for taking my question. My first question is about the company's deleveraging. Could you please divest from some operations? Is that a possibility? If so, whether would it be in the north or south, Santos, or maybe cabotage operations? My second question is about the contract. Vale International remains the guarantor of that contract. Are they considering any term negotiation? Hi, Enrique. Well, Fabio has just pointed out that we're working hard to deleverage the company. We have been working hard in both CapEx to try to be as precise and as pragmatic as possible, and also resuming the EBITDA of several businesses that can contribute to the deleveraging effort as well. 6.5 EBITDA in 9 months, we are at 6.3 times. That was 1.2 times reduction in deleveraging, such as far as more macro decisions. We are always paying close attention. There's nothing forecast, but we remain pragmatic. We consider other opportunities for deleveraging. But we remain looking out for opportunities, but there's nothing specific on our radar. As far as Vale is concerned, I'll turn over to Fabio. As to the long-term contract in the southern corridor, I think we have to use the right words, change the nomenclature. MCR is the owner, remains the owner. The only difference is the new controlling shareholder of the company. The company remains the same. The only change was with the controlling shareholders. JIF is the controller now, used to be Vale. The warranty given by the Vale International, that was valid before and is now, it's the same way, exactly the same. We have the Vale outstanding once we fulfill the contract. In answering to your question, there have been no changes. There are no requests on our part. That was a suit contract that should be in the balance sheet of those that hire that capacity. And the contract remains effective to its fullest. There was a water crisis. It's not whether it was fulfilling or not the contract. They are operating. We want to give MCR the opportunities with the new controlling shareholders. No changes whatsoever in a nutshell. Perfect. Thank you. Congratulations once again for your results. Pedro Bruno from XP Investments is up next. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Two questions, more of a follow-up question. In the Northern Ireland, you talked about the contract volumes. It's clear, capacity distribution, that was very clear. But Ricardo mentioned that it's 100% contracted. I think he's talking about 2022, is that correct? What about negotiations for 2023? Thinking about the total capacity, we know that most of it is from long-term contracts. Maybe I would like to better understand the spot portion of those negotiations. At what level are you there? 100% for 2022. How much ballpark figure for 2023? Let me just ask the second question because it has to do with what Fabio has just said about the MCR contract. Can you give us more color as to operational efficiency? What was the timing of that? You had problems with the operations when the controller shareholders or the controlling shareholders was changed. The impact, I would like to better understand the timing of that transition. Let me start by asking your first question. Yes, when Ricardo says that it's 100% show is 2022, full capacity 2022. And we are already starting 2023 because of the contracts. We start at 50%. We don't have to negotiate anything. Crop season contracts, we're starting now negotiating. And the outlook is positive. But we start at 50%. And the rest, the other 50%, we remain optimistic with the crop projections for next year. We have to get the better conditions, not the timing per se. It's a very strong crop year, and we'll define what the best time is, commercially speaking. I'm certain next year it will be a full capacity year. Our concern is to boost our capacity, Super Convoy, maybe two ships using that buoy I referred to, maybe using assets in new routes. That will be the name of the game for next year. I don't see any demand restrictions, however, quite the opposite. Demand will be strong, and the market is avid for new slots next year. We have to pick and choose the best timing for us. That's how the dynamics for 2022 will play out. As to the efficiency of the transition in MCR, that's very simple. Every time someone takes over an operation, you have a learning curve. There were some impacts, some additional delays in the loading, unloading operations. But again, they're going back to normal gradually. Our contract with MCR is mooring to mooring. It's a navigation contract. But when I don't have that efficiency in loading and unloading, that ends up impacting the cycle and the integrated system as a whole. In extreme cases, there are fines. But that, anyway, impacts productivity. When you have more restrictions as far as navigation goes, it's even worse. I'll turn over to Ricardo to confirm what I have just said. Yes, part of that migration is because of that reason. The system has less water. It will impact the entire system. The cycles are longer. We've been monitoring this for over a year. But when a JIF took over, there were changes. And it took them some time to learn the operation. It's not long lasting, of course. It's behind us. It's part of the past. As far as the contract goes, we are operating normally as we speak. Perfect. Thank you for answering both of my questions. Thank you, Pedro. That concludes the Q&A session for today. I'll turn over to Mr. Fabio Schettino for his closing remarks. Thank you once again for attending yet another earnings call. We remain considered, remain committed to the company's values, walking the talk. In other words, we're delivering what we were set out to do. So we remain consistent with what we've been saying. It was almost a 2-year period of headwinds outside of our control. The closing of this year is more than a year's end. It's the end of a cycle of adversity. The company fundamentals show how resilient we are. The water crisis, the EBITDA we delivered last year, almost the same size of the year before, in which we had grown over 30%. That shows how resilient those businesses. Let me highlight something that we often overlook. We have profit of 148 million in this 9 months on top of cash generation. Net profit is outstanding. But let me once again point out how diligent, how strict we are in deleveraging the company. This is now being shown more effectively. That remains a priority. We still have room to have more capacity, productivity gains, and this northern quarter at 7.2 million of integrated capacity was conceived for 4.5, and the investment to double, almost double the capacity was marginal. That investment was marginal. It was not actual assets. It came from efficiency. We started with 16 barges in the calm and said that we have just been certified to start operating with 35 barges. Finally, in conclusion, we remain in our sustainability journey. This is extremely important to us. Results begin to show. Just yesterday, we were awarded the third best company in environmental evolution ports in Brazil. Our terminal in Vila do Conde was awarded the third best improvement in environmental performance. Two important awards just last week from Epoca 360. We were number one in ESG challenge in the transportation industry, and we ranked second in ESG, the global ESG award. Once again, our sustainability goals, positive impact goals, our decarbonization strategy, first two electrical tugboats that will start operations in the Amazon region next year. That's again proof that the company is committed to this effort. I remain very optimistic for 2023. These one-off and external headwinds are part of the past. And now having Santos operating at full capacity with water levels that are average, historical average, we of course are going to deliver the results expected by yourselves given the installed capacity. That concludes my presentation, and thank you all once again for attending. We remain available to answer any questions you may have. This concludes Hidrovias Brasil earnings call. Thank you for attending. Have all a good day.